Good morning and welcome to the Wednesday, November 27th edition of Byers & Company. This hour, we'll crack the millennial code with Ryan Vett, author and entrepreneur. Plus, we'll have some local business owners in Small Business Saturday and Black Friday this week. Shopping to do. Make sure you support your local cause. Next.
Byers & Company, WSOY, 1340 AM, 103.3 FM, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Good morning and welcome. We are back here on this very gusty Thursday, which is just wonderful, a day before Thanksgiving. And our next guest was born and raised in Chicago, so he understands this weather, although I understand you live in a better place now, Mr. Vett. Glad to have you with us.
Thanks for having me.
All right.
Yes, grew up in the suburbs there and now in Durham, North Carolina.
All right.
A little bit different weather.
I would switch places with you today, no questions asked. All right, so you hit the road with this course called Cracking the Millennial Code. Now you have a new book about this. This generation, you claim, is very misunderstood. And a lot of the stereotypes that people maybe my age or older carry with millennials is not only detrimental to what they really are, but detrimental to your business, because you're going to have to hire these people because people can't keep working until they're 120.
Exactly. There's tons of stereotypes, as you mentioned, from being lazy to entitled, to always wanting time off or a pay raise. And all of these things may have a element of truth or a grain of truth to them. But the reality is, if the other generations currently in the workforce and even the upcoming generations don't learn how to manage around and manage through some of these different so-called labels that are placed on the millennial generation, it's going to be really difficult for some of the older boomers to finally retire, for some of the Gen Xers to step into some of the senior leadership and executive roles, and then for millennials to have an enjoyable work experience.
Ryan Vett is with us, an innovative business leader, American entrepreneur, speaker, author, and investor. All right, so give me, let's walk through some of the key issues of how to manage a millennial and get through some of these stereotypes.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things is understanding where you come from and where the next generation comes from and understanding who millennials are. So a lot of people don't realize that millennials are anywhere between 18 and 40 right now. And there's a little bit of argument on splitting the generation up into subsegments, Gen Y, Gen Z, et cetera. But they're in the workforce. They're adults, and some of them have been in the workforce for almost 20 years now. So the first thing is understanding who the millennials are and then understanding really where you've come from and what has created you to and shaped you to be who you are today. Whether that's your education, whether that's where you grew up, whether that's your religious background, whether that's your heritage, whatever it might be, each one of those things play a crucial role in developing our identity, especially the time in which we grew up. So the first part of the book really explores the different generations and the eras in which they grew up, what they faced, the historical, the political events, the cultural phenomenon, and how each one of those shaped some of the attitudes that now make a boomer think that millennials are lazy because they want the clock out at 3. And millennials think boomers are, very, very rigid because they want the millennials to stay to 7. And so you have these conflicts when really the quantity of work being produced and the quality of work is almost identical, if not more, by the millennials. It's just done in less time. So there's just a lot of understanding that has to go into really working with millennials effectively.
All right. And can we, is there an agreement on how to actually define millennials? Because it's all over the place. I mean, there's several different age groups that are used just with a cursory search online. But you say 18 to 40. Is that what you said?
I say 18 to 40. In the book, I say from 1980 to 2000. So those born in the 80s and the 90s are millennials. There's definitely, and I break it down a little bit more, because some people say millennials stopped at 96. Some people say millennials stopped at 90. And some people don't say they started until 85. So there is a little bit of debate there, but I did group it into decades as a whole to kind of identify what was going on in the world and shape some of the viewpoints. One of the big issues that causes this debate amongst amongst the sociologists and the anthropologists that label millennials or label the different generations is the fact that they had different parents. So there are millennials who had baby boomer parents, because baby boomers had more of a career and waited longer than Gen X parents, who had kids more quickly. And so their parents actually kind of create almost a division in how millennials were raised and some of the attributes that a millennial of a Gen X parent would have versus a millennial of a baby boomer parent.
I gotcha. All right, now I'm Gen X. You know, we were sort of the divorced kids, right? Raised by TV. What defines the millennial generation?
Yeah, so the millennial generation is a communication generation. And a lot of times they get a lot of guff for not being good communicators. Well, they just communicate differently. And I'm not saying they communicate well, but they grew up in this age of instant media. Growing up, they saw things like the Columbine school shooting unfold in front of them. They saw terrorism. They saw war. They saw all of these different things. They saw the economy crash. They lost trust for the big companies. They saw all of these things happen. And these tragedies caused them to start to talk about it, express emotions more. There was more school counseling involved for the first time in this generation. So you have a more sensitive or emotionally aware, which is probably actually a good thing because some of the stereotypes of bottling up emotions were broken or started to be broken in this generation. So you've got all these different things, but the reality is millennials are great at accessing information and communicating, but the reality is you need to learn how to channel that effectively to manage them in your workplace.
All right. And most of these folks, you know, the boomers are just about out of the workforce, right? I mean, you know, the Gen X, the older end of that spectrum, you know, probably mostly in those management positions. What are a couple of tips on blending that Gen X with the millennials? Because they're not, in some areas, that far apart.
They're not far apart at all. And a lot of Gen Xers are parents of millennials now entering the workforce. So you've got probably about 15 to 20% of the boomers still in the workforce, but the bulk is the Gen X generation. However, the generation is extremely small compared to millennials. So there's about 2 millennials for every 1 Gen X. So the millennials are coming in great force, which can make the Gen Xers feel frustrated because Gen Xers, like you said, they were raised by the TV. They were latchkey kids. They were the ones that came home and learned how to make their own food. They had to be home for several hours before their parents or single parent would come home to be with them. And so they have this self-starter mentality, and it's really frustrating when a millennial comes in the workforce and they don't self-start. If you tell them to jump, they don't ask how high. They just jump in the fastest, quickest, easiest way possible because millennials are a bit more they like to think that they're more efficient. But really, millennials are used to being scheduled. They had about a 50-hour work week as a kindergartner between extracurricular sports, things on the weekends. So they're used to work and busy schedules, but they're also used to having very concrete directions for every step of the way. So they want to know exactly how to do everything that's desired of them, because the joke is that all millennials get a trophy and they need a trophy. The reality is all millennials will work for a trophy or work for the goal, but they have to have a clear expectation. And that's where a lot of Gen Xers and millennials conflict, because the Gen Xer sees a need and is going to solve it without being asked. A millennial may or may not even see the need, and they definitely won't solve it unless they're asked and they know that there's something in it for them at the end of the day.
That's fascinating. All right, what about the generation after the millennials? Because they're starting to enter the workforce as well.
They are. And it's going to be really interesting. Some people call this Gen Z. Some people call it iGen. Some people are still up in the air as to what to call this rising generation that as of the end of this year, all the first wave of them, most agree that they are now legal adults. So they can vote. They can go to war. They can get married. They can buy tobacco. They can gamble. So they're legal adults. The question is what colors them, what defines them? Well, they grew up in an era one step more involved and engrossed in media than millennials. So millennials were more information and communication. This next generation is more media. And so they're seeing new waves of TV. They're seeing YouTube. They're seeing music by the song, not by the album. And yes, millennials saw that, but they saw that happen. They weren't raised in that. And so you're seeing this next generation wanting a frivolous lifestyle, almost going back to the roaring 20s. And I talk a lot about history repeating itself over and over and over again. Well, you're seeing this group be more like either the silent generation or the older boomers, just very me-centered, wanting to buy a lot. If you look at spending, Forbes had a whole magazine earlier this year on Gen Z and how much more they're already spending than every other generation. And only, a tenth of them are, maybe even less, are legal adults. And they're still outspending other generations on consumeristic type things. So I think we're going to see a high spike in consumerism, which often leads to other economic problems. And it'll be interesting to see, just as the economy changes and everything else morphs, what will color this generation as they go into adulthood and learn to fend for themselves.
Yeah, you know what? It's going to be interesting, too, is what the political spectrum looks like, because,
you know,
these folks are a little bit of everything. You know, they're not, they don't break up into easy categories like D and R the way other generations do. It'll be fascinating. All right, Ryan, where can people get the book, Cracking the Millennial Code?
Yeah, it's available anywhere that carries books. Easiest place is probably Amazon. You can type in my name, Ryan Vett, or type in Cracking the Millennial Code, and it'll pop up there. It's available on ebook, paperback, audiobooks coming out in 2 weeks. So,
fascinating stuff. We really appreciate the time. Thank you very much. Ryan Vett, that's R-Y-A-N-V-E-T, entrepreneur, speaker, author, CEO of Boone. What did you think?
I thought it all out. I mean, had reasoning behind all of it. Sometimes it's a little thin, and when you start talking about people's generations, you get...
You can't, yeah, it's generalization of a generation.
People get really heated pretty quick about it. Well, I mean, that's where the okay boomer, I mean, it's like, it's almost like a class war, and it's like, I think he tried to look at everything and break it down.
Yeah.
And I like the futuristic twist, the way of looking at how he thinks it's going to play out.
Yeah.
That's how I like to look at things.
All right, we got to take a break. We'll be back.